Well, this is Leo from KTWH, and during our fall on-air membership fund drive, that's fun, capital F, capital U, capital N.
Small D.
Drive. We get a chance, as we rarely do, and it's nice to take a little bit of an inside look at community radio. I thought we could peel back a little bit of the wrapper of the mystique of community radio to see and hear a bit what makes the station tick. And to help me do that, I've invited, reluctantly maybe, I wasn't reluctant, I really wanted Michelle to come in, but she's agreed to come in on board here as our resident activities manager, volunteer coordinator extraordinaire. Michelle Anderson is with me today. Welcome, Michelle, to my little realm.
Thanks, Leo. It is, well, I'll say a pleasure to be here, to be polite, but you know as well as I do that I'm kind of a behind-the-scenes person, even though I'm on the microphone quite a bit.
Quite a professional on the mic, but it isn't where you really want to live.
No, I mean, I enjoy being creative here at KTWH, and we have lots of opportunities to do so. But yeah, as far as interviewing, and although I teach it, and I think that I do pretty well at it, the thing that I hate more is being interviewed rather than doing the interview.
So for Michelle, honestly, this is a worst case scenario for you.
Yeah, well, I'll take one for the team because it is our fall fun drive.
And I could say that the Two Harbors Community Radio Board made me do it, Michelle.
Yes.
I want an out here.
All right, we'll blame it on those guys.
Staring a hole in me. Michelle, you've been with us since quite a bit before KTWH ever went on the air. That was, you know, we went on the air back in 2015 in September. Just had our 8th anniversary. It seems in some ways like only yesterday, and in other ways, what does it feel like? Another lifetime.
It's actually been an incredible journey and very rewarding. Honestly, I have to say that we're sort of the station that couldn't, that did. And I think I'm very proud to be a part of the team here at KTWH and grateful to be here. The time has gone by really fast when you look at, like, wow, it's been 8 years we've been on the air. I can't even believe that. In some ways, it seems like we just went on the air a year or two ago.
Yeah, and it must, you know, there are a few things in life that you have kind of vivid, sensory-filled memories of, and our first day on the air is just like, does feel quite a bit more recent than some of the other things that have happened in the past 8 years, and I like going there in my mind. That's one of those happy places.
Absolutely, yeah, so I'm really proud of us, and I'm grateful to be part of the team.
And how did you ever come to be part of that team that was putting KTWH together back in 2014 and 15? One day you weren't there and the next day you were. And what's the story of you coming to us, coming to Two Harbors, coming to the radio in Two Harbors?
Okay, so I'll try to be concise and not ramble on.
It won't be a quiz either.
But I did. I came here for a rock show, not classic rock kind of a show, but the Rock and Gem show that they used to have here. And I think, Leo, where was that held at?
I think that was what we used to call Agate City on the main street, 7th Avenue.
Yeah, I came here to go to attend that and actually meet up with a friend from Ely who had a really interesting rock that she wanted to check out. And so I drove up with another friend of mine to Two Harbors to attend that. And I was driving around with Annie and we were catching up because we hadn't seen each other since I was 14 years old, and we had recently reconnected on Facebook. And I had been out of radio for a while, and I was just kind of lamenting, oh, I really wish I could find a job in radio again. I miss working with students. I miss being on the air, which just doing a music show is not doing an interview.
There you go.
I was kind of lamenting a little bit, and so Annie was like, well, what did you say when we started this conversation? And I was like, Annie, that was 4 hours ago. I don't know. And she goes, well, just do it, Michelle. Just maybe this town that you're in love with, as we're driving around and seeing this gorgeous lake and sort of a small community, which you also miss because I had come from Ely and was then living in Duluth. See if they have a radio station. And I said, are you crazy? There's no way a town like this is going to have a radio station. And she goes, well, promise me when you get home, you'll look. So I did. And the first thing that popped up in the Google search was Two Harbors Community Radio. So I was like, oh my goodness. So I called you, Leo.
Yeah. I remember receiving that call and spending a good 90 minutes of,
yeah,
wow, I'm getting a person who has a strong vibe that they might resonate with a station that doesn't quite yet exist. Because honestly, we existed on paper, Michelle.
Yes, that's how I found you. And in Google search, by golly.
Who said it isn't real if it's on the internet?
That's right.
Just because it's on the internet doesn't make it not real.
That's true.
Yes, we were certainly looking for people who had some experience to help us with our journey. And right place, right time.
I guess so. It was definitely meant to be. And I was absolutely awestruck that there was a radio station, even if it was in the formation process. Hey, that was perfect. I was excited.
Well, since it was the first and only time the founders were ever going to create a radio station, I'm glad you put faith in us that we had any clue of how this was going to come together, because it was definitely a bootstrap operation day by day, and you were there for a long part of it.
Well, I actually was so impressed with everybody when I first met the group that was involved, the early stakeholders and visionaries. And I remember sitting at some of the meetings and sort of sitting back and listening to everyone talk and all the things that they were bringing to the table and planning. And I thought to myself, what am I doing here, man? These guys are really something.
Well, we might have been full of ourselves, full of confidence that you have when you don't really know what you're getting into, Michelle. You know,
I thought you guys were an exceptional group of people.
Well,
and still do, thanks. By the way.
Yeah. But can you speak a little bit about what that experience that you had had in radio and commercial radio and some of the adventures you had had in that?
So I went to Minneapolis Community College after graduation with the intent of becoming a social worker. So I was working on my generals, and it was taking an awfully long time. I did have a young child at home when I started college. As I got further and further into it, my interests were so seemingly discombobulated from one another. So music, always singing and performing, dancing, flamenco, politics, social justice, the earth, spirituality. And so I'm going to college and I'm getting my generals done, intending on being a social worker. And I'm kind of getting burnt out by the time I could graduate. By the end of it, it took me 3 years to get my associates, honestly. And I did some internships, and I found myself being a little bit too engaged with the clientele that I would be working with, and thought to myself, man, this is kind of a recipe for disaster. And I was really wondering and soul searching, like, what could I do in life that would combine all these seemingly disconnected interests and things that were placed on my heart as a person? And somebody just said, hey, you have a really great voice. Have you ever thought of doing radio?
And how did that germ of an idea sound?
It sounded scary, but wonderful. And there actually was an institution called Brown Institute that I think we have some graduates, actually, that are volunteers from Brown Institute.
I do hear of Brown now and again from people who have been through that experience. And apparently it makes an impression that lasts a lifetime.
So I ended up finishing my associate's degree finally. And I was finishing the last quarter and started at Brown Institute for Broadcasting to see sort of that, having the degree in it. I still was not very sure of myself, but I ended up moving up to Ely and working for WELY.
Okay.
And I did that on and off for, I don't know, a good part of 15 years while I was raising my children. I had other children and was married and sort of had my roots there. So I got involved with WELY, had like four or five different managements.
So just out of curiosity, everybody always talks about WELY, which has had challenges staying the course lately, but everybody harkens back to, it was owned by
Charles Kuralt.
Charles Kuralt. Were you there during Kuralt ownership years?
Okay. Yes, that was one of my incarnations there. I was actually there for, well, when Gene Larson was the first owner that I worked for, and then Charles Kuralt came in after that until his death. Sadly, I never got to meet Charles. I would have loved that, but my managers at the time, the station managers, were quite close with him. And then there was another incarnation of another owner after Charles died. And that was for a few years. And then it came to when Boys Fort bought the radio station.
Right.
So it always came to a point where I was kind of like middle management, if you want to put it that way. So there was the station managers and then me. And then, well, we, of course, paid our people that were on the air. But
yeah.
So it's like when the new owners would come in, I would be the first job to go, sort of. I mean, it was like clockwork. If we were getting new owners, I knew that TikTok, you know, I was going to get fired or laid off. And
but you kept coming back too, though.
Well, they eventually would realize that I was quite good at understanding the radio business since I've been doing a small station for so many years.
Right.
So I had a lot of other attributes that I could contribute besides just being a voice on the air. And so I did youth radio there, as I do here. I did sales, as
right.
I do here, but it's called underwriting.
Indeed.
And promos and interviews. Speaking of interviews, there is one interview that I was petrified of that was my favorite. And that was I got to interview Pat Benatar and her husband.
How do we get the rights to that interview, Michelle? It'd be a kick.
My dog literally ate it.
Oh,
Leo.
Your dog ate your homework.
He did. He ate the dang CD. That was my only copy of that interview.
Oh, because I'd be willing to talk to whoever had the rights to that and say, oh, come on, let Michelle show off her moment of rubbing shoulders.
Yeah. So that was like one of my cool experiences with doing interviews. And actually, Malta Productions was running Pat Benatar, managing her and Green Vinyl Dream and Indigenous at the time. And I was actually offered a job by the management company that they didn't know. WEOY doesn't know what value you actually bring to the table. Would you consider moving to California, Michelle,
oh,
and working for us? And it's an opportunity I could never say yes to. And I always would have wondered in my head would be different in my life if I wasn't in the process of raising
that door that you didn't go through in life. What would that have been like? But it just wasn't the time. Wasn't the lifetime.
Wasn't the lifetime. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think that opportunity exists anymore.
Yeah.
But it was still really intriguing and kind of special to me, honestly.
So if you just tuned in, Michelle Anderson, the activities manager and volunteer coordinator at KTWH, among her other hats, youth radio coordinator. She's visiting with me today, and we're getting a little personal with Michelle. Thanks, Michelle, for letting us, again, peel back the wrapper on some of the people who are behind the scenes here making it happen at KTWH. What does that moniker of activities manager refer to? What are some of the things that happen in radio, glamorous or not, that have to go on that you get to play a key role in? What kinds of things happen? Are you managing egos, or are you actually doing tasks that nobody else volunteered to do?
Well, actually, the behind-the-scenes stuff at the station more has to do, I guess, with day-to-day operations.
Sure.
So we have daily logs, which I call the DJ Bible, and that is a daily plan of underwriting and promo announcements, underwriting being our people that are advertising. If you're in a commercial business, if you're in a nonprofit, it's called underwriting. So we have to have those things created, you know, work with the clients, get the wording, and then put it in a parameter that the FCC approves for us to do. And so the daily logs have the schedule of who's on the air and what needs to be played throughout the day. And of course, Bruce the Moose puts together our daily automation piece.
Yes.
And
our download engineer, daily playlister.
Guru.
His labels are hard.
I would say we were talking earlier off mic, and like to me, when I go in his office and I wonder how he keeps track of this, if you've ever seen the movie A Brilliant Mind.
Yes.
That's what I think of when I think of Moose. He's just incredible. He's got sticky notes and messages and whatever all over, and somehow he keeps it all together. So
he knows which sticky note to look at today.
I know. I just
that was yesterday's sticky note. Don't read that one.
Yeah, don't read that. It's Tuesday. Read only the green ones or something. I don't know. He's got a process that's pretty amazing. And so I need help. So I've got my Google calendars that I've created to keep me sort of abreast of what needs to happen with underwriting, on what days of the week those need to go in. So all of us here are volunteers, which I adore all of the volunteers that are here is like magic.
You mean I'm not getting paid for talking to you right now, Michelle?
You're not.
The check is not in the mail?
It's not in the mail, Leo. Oh. You're doing this out of the goodness of your heart, as everybody here is. But, you know, there's times where they need time off, and they have lives and jobs and families and whatever. And
things happen.
Yep. And so there's a lot of scheduling. And then let's not even go with the weather. The weather snafus. Sometimes we have volunteers from Duluth that aren't going to be able to make it for their shift. So,
what time of the year might that be, Michelle, most often?
On Wednesdays in the wintertime, Leo, when you're supposed to
exactly.
be on the air.
It's come to the point where I'm recording my announcements and plugging it into a playlist when I anticipate another Wednesday snowstorm, folks.
Yeah, so let's hope that maybe it could get changed over to Sunday when we automate fully
the
station.
El Nino could throw that on its head and they could be weekend storms. But
yeah.
You won't like that at home, but
no.
That might happen.
It could. So the scheduling, the coordinating of the volunteers, which also brings up another opportunity and point that we have various committees that we rely on our volunteers, especially the fundraising and event planning committee, which we call FREP.
Because we have to have an acronym that rolls off the tongue, weird
yep,
as it sounds.
Weird as it is.
FREP has only existed for about a year, but we're relying on them now.
Absolutely. And so part of my job is working with the committees that are relevant to the station's overall daily and long-term planning. And so that deals with our events and our fall fundraisers and our spring fund drives and our Harvest Moon Gala, which, by the way, is coming up October 21st.
This is a necessary plugging moment, folks, because it's just a little over 3 weeks away, and we haven't been able to have this event proper since 2019.
Yes.
That's going back a ways. We tried running a virtual kind of format for it, kind of an online and walk-through in-person silent auction with really no social aspect
component to it.
It was all about what goodie do you want to bid on, and it was lacking a little bit in atmosphere. So we're bringing back the old Harvest Moon and hoping that a combination of a taco bar dinner with dessert.
Yes. Silent auction.
An excellent silent auction with very interesting locally made items, among other things.
And
a great set of entertainers.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tracy Parks is going to be performing during our dinner hour. And that is at 6 until 6:45, I believe. And then after that, we have Gene and Amy, correct, Leo?
Yeah, Gene performing. And Gene LaFond, Amy Grillo, singer-songwriters out of Silver Bay, Minnesota now, and they go back a ways in terms of their musical careers. Gene has several CDs out to his credit, and they have a duo CD out, the Northland Sessions, and they're gonna wow you. And then we have a wonderful performer from the Duluth area, Brianne Marie, who does what she likes to call Great Lakes Country, and it's kind of a rockin', folkin' version of country that you'd expect KTWH to be attracted to.
Absolutely. Also, the deal is with that, if you want to just only come for the concert, because we're gonna have pre-sale tickets available here at the station, as well as Cedar Coffee, and then if you just want to come for the music and the silent auction, then you show up at 6:45 and you pay $10 for the ticket to see the concert, enjoy all the cool things that are going to be at the auction.
Yeah, and you can peruse the auction while still listening. That's how it's always worked. It works just great. And we'll interrupt the concert to say, okay, we're wrapping up, and hopefully you go home with something that caught your eye that night. And there are going to be a lot of farm goods from our local farming community. A lot of our local artists and artisans, the potters, the painters of our area are donating things. And wonderful services, overnight stays. I can't even guess what Marla's Wish,
tickets.
Our solicitor at large,
is
bringing in all kinds of neat items.
And
for
so
the
all of this is going to be at the American Legion this year on the 21st of Rocktober, as I like to call it.
Those pre-sale tickets for the full ride of dinner and silent auction and concert will only be on sale through, we think, October 16th, because we need to let the venue know who to expect for dinner. So,
yes.
So you got to get them while they're hot,
get
folks,
those in.
And we hope you do. Cedar Coffee or here at the station.
anyways, we were talking about the committees and how that works and FREP. So that's another big part, is the long-term planning of the radio station. And of course, you know, everything takes money. And so might as well ask you right now, if you have an opportunity and you're listening to this, to head over to ktwh.org and click on that donate button, as we are in the middle of our fall fund drive.
And that's direct and to the point of really what we try to do during a fund drive, which is encourage listeners that at any level you can support us. We are not asking for anyone to break their budget, but at any level you can support us for a service you value, that you can join us either with a one-time gift or a modest monthly amount that you can afford as a sustaining member. Sustaining members who are new to the cause get a free KTWH decal extra bonus gift. You also qualify for any other premium gift that we offer to our listeners. So, Michelle, that's the financial side, but we pride ourselves on being volunteer-driven and listener-supported. What else does listener support really mean? Do we just collect people's money and then just move on and just make decisions for them, or do we have a need for that listener input as well?
Well, absolutely. And so I think you'll hear a number of folks this week on the air doing some pitching and having some fun with some special programming. Talk about that we want to hear from you. You know, if you have a show idea, if you would like to hear more or less of something, we're hands-on. Come visit me at the office, send us an email, send us a letter, you know, smoke signals, however you want to get in touch, call us on the phone.
It's definitely a collective effort, so don't think that your input, that you like more of this kind of programming and less of this kind of programming, is going to be just put in a drawer somewhere. It's seriously considered and goes into the ongoing discussion that's happening day after day between committee members on programming committee and the board of directors. And our individual volunteers are always passionate about what they'd like to see us doing. And you can be kind of on the inside of that without being on the inside. But then again, you could also choose to pursue some volunteer work at KTWH, where, Michelle, you want to speak to how that happens? If somebody out there is thinking really hard, what could I possibly do for community radio that would be helpful?
So one of the cool things is, again, it's your radio station. You can walk through the door. You can say, hey, I'd like to be on the air. And you know what? There are so many people that are on the air currently as volunteers that have no experience. They did not go to Brown Institute and get a little certificate that says, you know, this person can go on the air. So one of the things that I enjoy about my volunteers is that they're so passionate about this place. And I'm telling you, it is rare to find people this committed to any nonprofit that I've ever seen or been a part of. So I have my go-to people. We do full training. You don't have to worry about it if you've never even seen a microphone before. I've got volunteers that'll walk you through, including myself. That's part of my job. And I do also do training, not just with youth radio students, but with adults. Or I pair you with the perfect volunteer. And I have people in mind. I have my go-to. And sometimes somebody just needs a different perspective. So if I'm teaching somebody something and they're not quite getting them, say, hey, how about next week I pair you with so-and-so? And sure enough, it's just being able to read the person, understand their level or the way that they learn. Some people are more linear. Some people are more hands-on. We all kind of know that, the gist of that. And so it's intuiting and working with them to know who to pair them with. And we have a perfect example of that. So I have been doing the morning show as a volunteer, like everybody else, on Tuesday mornings for 8 years. For a lot of reasons, I was kind of ready to take a little bit of a break, maybe start listening to some different music, whatever. Well, we have a new volunteer that came in here and literally is on the air doing Tuesday mornings. His name is John Kringle. I encourage you to check him out. And yes, John did have radio experience way back in the day, but he literally picked it up like that because, A, he's excited to be on the radio, and you can tell that he just absolutely shines through when he's doing the morning show on Tuesdays. And
indeed,
we have a ton of examples like that. It's really, truly amazing the gifts of people that we have.
I have a personal goal of actually waking up on time to take in John's whole show sometime, because I've been catching it in 15-minute segments as a late riser on Tuesday, because I'm on early on Wednesday and I'm saving up my sleep minutes, Michelle. But I've got a feeling that John is comfortable in that seat, and wherever we put him, he'll be comfortable because he's one of those adaptable volunteers. There must be many other tasks that have to happen to keep a non-commercial station going that has to do fundraising, and we have technical needs.
Yeah, so that's where our committees come in. As you know, Leo, you're part of the tech committee.
The least technical member of the tech committee. That's correct. That's me.
Yep. Well, I'm not agreeing that you're the least technical because I think, well, I'm not on the tech committee. Never mind. I'm going to stop before I go too deep. But yeah, so there's the tech committee. There's opportunities, I think, to be in the office and just be answering phones. There's donation and acknowledgements. There's filling out the green book. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of stuff that you can do behind the scenes. There's the fundraising and event planning like we talked about. Also, programming is a big one for us. Like you said, we take other people's input very seriously. So if somebody has an idea or a suggestion and we'd like to grow all of these things to be, we are, you know, local community radio hearing local voices, but we do want to hear more input and have more people available to sort of work through some of these issues or opportunities.
Issues and opportunities. That's maybe a good place when we're up against the clock, Michelle. And this has been very cool to hear this inside look at all things KTWH. But we do need to wrap up by reminding people what the listener support part of this fund drive is all about. And that is supporting KTWH at any level you can afford by going to ktwh.org.
Or call us.
/donations, or just get to that homepage at ktwh.org. Or better yet, if you want a more personalized experience, Michelle, you would do what?
I would stop into the studio. I forgot to mention that part of the FREP, too, keeps us, I call us, fat and sassy and happy during the fun drive. So we do have food and treats in the office that we'd love to share with you, the listener. Come on in and bring your donation in and have a little kryptonite coffee. If you've ever listened to my show, you know what that means.
And if it's too late in the day for you to have coffee, we've got cold spring water in the fridge for you. And like Michelle said, this week especially, treats galore and sometimes entrees. So
it's pretty fun.
Hope you'll find your way in here. And I appreciate your time, Michelle. And
thanks, Leo.
Continue keeping on, keeping on.
Yeah, you as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is Leo for KTWH. Here's a very happy, though one day early, birthday wish to you, Michelle Anderson, our KTWH activity manager. We love celebrating these round trips around the sun with you on our community radio with that beautiful lake view.